Are you ready to step beyond your sexual walls? We're here to talk about anything you want. This is the Sisters of Sexuality show, featuring Taylor Sparks, Parrish Michelle Blair, Jet Setting Jasmine, Marla Renee Stewart, and Tiffany Janae. We have so much to talk about today, so let's just get things started. Here are your hosts, Taylor, Parrish, Jasmine, Marla, and Tiffany.
Welcome, welcome to the Sisters of Sexuality Five Shades of Play radio show on the Sexy Lifestyle Network, sponsored by LifestyleCruising.com. I'm so excited. So I'm Marla Renee Stewart, and I'm super excited about my guest today is Jessica Nader, who I've had the pleasure with staying with on a week-long bliss cruise, but we'll talk about that soon. But right now, I just want to give you her bio. So Jessica Nader is the owner of PlaySmart Learning Center. Jessica was simply born to take care of kids. She has been in the childcare industry since graduating from Florida State University, where she received her degree in child development. Jessica's skills are versatile, allowing her to efficiently supervise all positions at PlaySmart Learning Center, even when coffee supplies are scarce. She is passionate about kids making great choices and providing them with the love that they need for fostering proper growth, as well as educating parents to ensure that they have the tools they need to maintain their positive parenting plan. So, as you can tell, today we are doing sex positive parenting in queer families. So I'm super, super excited to welcome Jessica Nader. Thank you for being here, Jessica.
Thank you so much, Marla. I love that intro.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year. We are in 2019. I cannot believe it.
I know. It's 2018 went by so quickly, but I'm hoping that 2019 is going to be super. I know it's going to be super great. So I know you have a big year ahead of you. Any plans for 2019?
Yes, I am. I'm just going to travel more and just kind of build my horizons in the sex positive parenting seminar issues and just kind of helping families along the way and seeing beautiful scenery while I'm doing it. That is definitely my high goal right now.
Excellent. I'm sorry, say it again.
And how about you? Are you ready for the new year?
Yes, I am. I am. I am ready. I don't know if I'll be traveling as much. Maybe I will be. Who knows? But, you know, I'll be getting married soon. So it's like all of these things that are happening at the same time. So I'm super, super excited about that. But yeah. So yeah, the new year, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And I hope that we will get to travel together maybe soon or do something else soon besides this radio show. But we'll talk about it.
Absolutely.
So yeah. So do you want to tell like everybody how we met?
We have met in so many interesting ways. The first time happened when I met you at Jasmine's baby shower in Tampa. Yeah, we had a brief little time to talk on the beach. That was so wild. And then after that, I met you in Naughty in New Orleans, and you were able to sit through that first seminar and just hang out. I didn't get to hang out in New Orleans though. That was disappointing. But overall, I mean, those are the first top two times that we kind of hung out. And then we went all the way in on a 7-day cruise, you know, floating through Jamaica and all the way through Mexico. And that was super wild. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. I really have stories to tell.
I know, right? I really enjoyed my time there though. You know, like it was really just fascinating, right? Being on that, I feel like it's a giant mall. Right.
Yeah.
In the middle of the
wall, on the middle of the sea.
Yes. And so, I want to. What was the best experience you had going on the cruise?
One of the best experiences was the fact that there was nobody who complained on this vacation. Like everybody was happy. Everybody was in their element. Everybody was free. So it was really nice to be around people who just enjoyed like time off of work.
Yes, I agree. Everybody was really happy. I heard like, when that was my first, you know, cruise. So I heard like usually cruises, people aren't as happy. So that was kind of like, I was like, oh, all right. Well, I'm not sure if I want to take a regular cruise now.
I don't think
since
I
you're
can.
On a special adults only cruise, but it was good. And I was just, so before we get into like, you know, what we presented on the cruise, because we presented the sex positive parenting workshop on the cruise. So, but before we get into that, I just kind of wanted to talk to you about like your learning center. Can you like tell me like how did it come about? Like, tell us your history with the PlaySmart Learning Center.
Well, I've always loved working with children. That has been like my life passion. So after graduating from Florida State, I worked with a nationwide company and had a great experience there. Learned a lot about customer service and just the overall like scheme of things. But I saw like at that point, like what I wanted for myself and what I wanted for children in my community. So I feel like I molded over for a while. And I finally had an opportunity to partner with my aunt 9 years ago. And she asked me like, hey, if you're really serious about this, you know, I'll definitely float you and fund you and help you. And I put that sweat equity in. And that's how PlaySmart was created. It was in 2010. So I was able to open up in the same school that I worked in, which I thought was pretty cool. I was able to open up my center in the way that I felt my community needed support with families. And that started in March of 2010. So we're going into our 9th year. So I'm really excited about that.
That's awesome. How many kids do you have?
We have a little over 100.
Wow. And what are the age ranges?
We go from 6 weeks old all the way to 12. So we pick up school agers. We take them to school in the morning and then we'll pick them up in the afternoon. And then we have the full-time care for 6 weeks old all the way up to 5 years old from 6:30 to 6:30.
Wow. That is incredible. And it's still at the school. Like, do you still teach at the school or?
Not so much. I'm kind of learning how to transition out of operating and be more in the just managing my business and managing my brand and just kind of getting my hands and like my feet wet in other arenas like the sex positive parenting tool. But yeah, I used to teach, but not anymore. Now I'm just like managing my staff. I make sure I do a lot of team building projects. Like we make sure we do trainings twice a year, make sure that we get together and we really look at what classrooms we have, the type of parents we have, the type of children we have, and we curtail what we're doing in our environment so that way we can yield the best results for those children.
That's awesome. And so what kind of like lessons did you sort of learn throughout these, you know, 8, almost 9 years of having this learning center?
I've learned so much. Oh my gosh. I've learned one, patience, because when you're dealing with someone else's child and what you think and you envision for them, you know, the parents have a whole different scale. So when I realized that I'm not a daycare, I'm not a place where you just drop your child off and, you know, we spend 8 to 10 hours and you pick up, like we're a partnership. Like you have to, like I learned that if you come to our center, you're partnering with our, you know, our tools and our methods and our guidelines. And hopefully that aligns with what their parenting plan is. So that way we're both on the same page, whereas you're not just dropping off and paying and being like, you're doing because I have to pay you. No, we're doing it because it's an equal partnership. We want to see the best results, not only for our students, but we also want to see it for our families and our staff. And then in turn, our community, or our little niche in our community is kind of taken care of. So I learned to partner with families. I've learned how to really work with people. Communication is key, you know, talking about what, you know, our expectations are, what our boundaries are, from staffing all the way down to like walking through the hallways and like, hey, good morning. And the little child is like, hey, you're like, hey, I would like you to say hello instead of hey. So I learned how to really also affect our community. Like our nutrition program is phenomenal. We only serve fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. We cook everything from scratch, so nothing comes from a can. Wow. And, you know, there's not a lot of centers, not a lot of small businesses like mine that are able to do that at the quality we're doing it. And we see real huge results in the way that they're growing and the way that their illnesses are. Man, I've learned so much and I'm super grateful for just being able to do it and put out my ideals and what I think is best, because I really do think that we've been able to really help a lot of families.
That's amazing. Wow, that sounds so excellent. I'm so proud of you. That's really phenomenal. I'm particularly curious, you know, because as little kids, you know, and especially because this is, you know, we're talking about sex positive parenting, but just thinking about kids and sort of, you know, have you seen any sort of, you know, behavior or like, have you ever had to regulate a child on like masturbation or anything like that? Has any of that come up in your, at the learning center?
Absolutely. This is definitely an age for exploration, figuring out, like, you know, talking about body parts from just from the infant toddler two perspective into like when they're actually physically touching, seeing and interacting with their peers. So I have been involved in families that have, you know, like a parent that came up to me and told us like preset was like, hey, I just want to let you know that my child, she does touch herself and she does masturbate. And she said it in a way that was like, so like, oh no, I can't believe she's doing this. And it was like a negative thing. And I was like, oh, it's okay. Like, is she washing her hands afterwards kind of thing? So we've had some run-ins with children that are finding themselves and figuring out their bodies and what they're supposed to do with it. And we're just needing to be positive about it, making sure that the environment is loving and kind and nurturing as they figure it out so that there's no negative connotations kind of floating with that experience.
Okay. Okay. And our parents, like, you know, what are the parents, I guess, sort of reactions to the learning center so far?
I think in the beginning, I had a very, my approach was very, like, very passive, and it didn't come from a very confident standpoint. So I did have to learn a little bit more about myself and learn a little bit more about how I can deliver this message without finding or contributing shame or blame to their parenting style and for the experience that their child is. So I've learned in these couple of years, like, just to be honest, and then let parents know that this is normal behavior. Like, this is acceptable things, and we just need to make sure that we don't create a negative connotation with that experience. So those are my experiences with, like, parents who sometimes, like, oh, I can't believe this is happening and I want to stop it. But it's really hard to tell a child to stop doing something that actually feels a little bit pleasurable, too. So yeah. I think, you know, finding those measurements in between and just making sure that they don't feel negatively impacted is what our environment and our school, we can contribute to any family that either experiences it or their child has had an experience in the center from another student.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And I feel like, you know, even with that, you know, thinking about the parents and how they're engaging, we really have to think about the sex ed piece of it, right? Like you said, you know, learning the parts of their bodies, you know, especially since you have such a wide range, 6 weeks to 12 years old. So that's a whole slew of different kinds of, you know, sex ed that's going on. So I think so we're getting ready to move into a break. But next segment, we are definitely going to talk about sex ed. So stay tuned. We're on Sisters of Sexuality, Five Shades of Play radio show. We'll see you shortly.
Sexy is back, and we've got it going on all the time here on the Sexy Lifestyle Network.
Organic Lovin', for the bodies you love to love. How do people describe you? Are you curious? Playful? Maybe sensual? Adventurous? How about open-minded? The truth is, no matter who you are, Organic Lovin' has something to indulge your fantasies. We offer only organic, natural, and eco-friendly intimate body products, including vegan condoms, organic lubricants, body-safe sex toy materials, and sex-positive books. You won't find anything harmful in our products or toys. We also have a full range of other experiences, including erotic seminars and exotic adults-only vacations. Receive our adult subscription box for a monthly sexual delight. Be educated, entertained, and informed. Organic Lovin'. For her, for him, for you. For the bodies you love to love, visit organiclovin.com. We offer shipping worldwide, so stop by the site anytime. Organic Lovin'. That's LOVEN.com.
Are you ready for clit whispering healthy talk? Tune in to the Get Mine Healthy Pleasure Radio Show. Founded and hosted by Dr. Mafei Peraza Godoy and Dominique Caretsis, this program will answer all of your burning questions in a frank, casual, and uncensored manner. We'll tell you what we know and improve what you know. Turn the lights down, grab a hot cup of whatever, and join us every Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time and 6 a.m. Pacific Time for the Get Mine Healthy Pleasure Radio Show on the Sexy Lifestyle Network.
You are listening to Sisters of Sexuality. To check in with the show and ask your questions, send an email to sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. That's sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to the Sisters of Sexuality radio show on the Sexy Lifestyle Network, sponsored by LifestyleCruising.com. I'm Marla, and I'm here with Jessica Nader, and we are talking about sex-positive parenting in queer families. So if you missed the first segment, that's perfectly okay. We talked a little bit about Jessica's Learning Center, the PlaySmart Learning Center, and sort of navigating, you know, 6 weeks to 12-year-old children and the lessons learned from there. And we just started to talk about a little bit about sex education and how, you know, because you have such a wide range, right, from 6 weeks to 12 years, and how those, you know, those messages are going to be very, very different, you know, for each child. So I just wanted to kind of go into like my, when I went into sex ed and when I got involved in sex education, because I just realized that my friends were not getting the sex education that I was getting, right? Mm-hmm. The things about my body I learned, you know, my mom helped me to feel really comfortable, even though it was really embarrassing. She really just wanted me to be educated. So I had all sorts of books around sex education, the body, what happens, you know, all that stuff. So, and then even when I got into college, the sex ed was really, my peers were really lacking information on just like pleasure and orgasms and, you know, how to tell your partner about, you know, an STD or something like that, right? Like, there really wasn't that kind of
communication.
Definitely around communication. So I just want to know, like, what was your experience around like sex education? Like, how did you get, you know, your sex education? Was it through your family? Was it through your friends? Was it through the school? You know,
it was at home, but then it was definitely like a lot of grace from God, because I think he put me in some really awesome situations where I was able to be surrounded by some very supportive people, like friends and supportive networks that were able to guide me when, you know, you're not around your family and you're trying to figure it out on your own. But I was raised by two women, and like my parents, they showed positive love. Like they were always kissing. They were always hugging. They were always exchanging gifts and going on trips. So I remember, you know, being young and still knowing what a positive like relationship looks like. But I don't remember those like individual conversations my mom had with me about sex. I really don't even think she really talked to me about sex. But I really feel she modeled a lot of positive things that I still kind of walk through in my relationship with my husband. When I learned about sex happened like through my friends, you know, like I was like, oh my gosh, like when I found out my best friend was having sex, I was like, oh snap. Mm-hmm. Like, what? is it really going down? I learned it on the fly, but I was very, very grateful to be around good people.
Nice. So you learned a lot around your friends just because they were having sex, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. I didn't.
It didn't make you want to have sex?
No. My mom was like super Catholic. And well, she wasn't Catholic. She just raised me Catholic. Let's really. So, like, she had a really good hold on my moral compass. So I was very busy, I was very active, and I was too busy for boys. So I didn't get confronted with sex until I went to college. And, you know, then I was lucky to have good friends, like, who were like, nah, you're not going over there. Or, you know, he's only after this. So I had, like, good red flags to be able to kind of point me in the right direction. And it wasn't until, like, I was in my late 30s when I really started figuring out, like, what I was doing in that industry. So, I mean, in the realm of sex and educating my own daughter and educating other people's children. About like how important it is just to use layman terms, how important it is to like create structure for your child so your child knows like only you can see this and you know no one else can see this, and you know, just giving her positive ways to know what sex is and what boundaries are too. So I love that and fly.
When I think about like sex ed too, like my mom, one of the things about my mother, you know, she, from the time I was in second grade, you know, she was always telling me something around sex and the body. She just did not want me to become a teenage mother, right? Like she was. Mm-hmm. And so that was really her motivation for for educating me around sex and sexuality. And then even when I, you know, when I turned maybe 13, you know, when I started having my period, like 13, 14, you know, my mom was like, okay, you know, if you're grown enough to buy condoms and you're grown enough to have sex, like that was her thing, right? It was just like, you just got to protect yourself. I don't, you know, if you're going to have sex, you know, you're going to do it, just protect yourself. And so she really educated me on just being like a responsible, you know, sexual being. You know, like, if you're going to do this, just do it right. And if you need help, I'm here. I'll take you to the doctor if you need it. I will, you know, she was very adamant about, like, not, I mean, not wanting, you know, not wanting me to be a teenage mother. She just did not want me to go through what she went through, you know, which was pretty tough.
She passed that preventative care, like this is what you do in order to have fun, but this is what you do to prevent, you know, this happening from you.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't in a scary sense, you know, it wasn't like, you know, like I'm gonna scare you into not having sex. It was just like, if you're gonna do it, this is the way to do it, you know. Right. And if you run into an issue, you can always trust me and I won't ask questions, which was a lie. She asked so many questions. I remember having like, you know, I had my boyfriend and I was like, oh, we've been together so many months and it's time to have sex. And so I ended up getting a bladder infection and, you know, she was like, I was like, I have a bladder infection. I need to go to the doctor. She was like, so did you like use the wrong soap? And I was like, no, I had sex. And she was like, oh, okay. I'll take you to the doctor.
Okay. So this is real. This is what it is.
And then it's so crazy. Cause like the same year, I came out, I was like, oh, you know, I have a girlfriend now. And she was just like, you know, appalled and like, oh my God, like what? And then joined PFLAG and then handed me a lesbian sex pamphlet and was like, I don't know what they do, but here, be safe.
Oh my gosh. I remember there was one person, a friend of mine that had that same encounter. Like she learned about it on her, it was actually in a conference, but she learned about it on her wedding night. Her parent gave her a book about it and was like, here, the doors are open. Like on her wedding night, like how do you learn about sex on your wedding night right before, you know, you're about to walk down the aisle from your mom and a book is laid on a table. I'm like,
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. And that's happening in our generation, you know, our generation, that's us. It's happening too. So I still think we're still in an environment where our parents aren't still being 100% open and communicative about it with their children because they think that their child is not ready for it or prepared for it.
Or they feel like the internet is going to teach them.
Yeah, that's another thing, is that the access is way too unreal and too quick. So that's why it's more important now to be more preventative and really take ownership of what your child is doing, how old your child is, and what your environment is. Like, what is your child seeing and what your child has access to? Man, there's so many variables.
There really is. Like you said, there's just the access to resources is, you know, truly, you know, like, you need to have books. You need to have, you know, your parents need to, you know, some internet sites that are, you know, reliable, that have accurate information. Sex ed, comprehensive sex ed programs, right? Like, being in the South, you're in the South, you know, like, being in the South, did you have like any sex education classes, or what kind of sex ed did you have for your growing up?
I remember being in fifth grade, and I remember going into, no, there's two classes. One was in fifth grade and then one was in high school. So I was in New York at the time when I had the first encounter, and, you know, you hear nothing but, like, I saw like an actual penis and I saw an actual vagina, and I was like, what is going on? Like, I didn't think that this was going to be a part of sex education, because it wasn't introduced from my parents. My mom was with Linda, so it's not like my mom was telling me what it was like when she was with my dad. So it was definitely a shock value in that regard. And I kind of left it alone. I remember that image staying with me, and I remember the laughter. And when I was in 10th grade, I remember being mature enough, but not interested at all. So when I received the information, I was taking it from a, you know, like, oh, I just know about my body. I know I'm going to menstruate. I know that boys are going to want to talk to me, and that the penis goes inside the vagina. And if it ejaculates, then I know that you can get pregnant. So, like, it was like I just got the information, and that was enough. And I didn't need anything more than that, because I was so busy. But now that I have a daughter, it's a little different. Like, I definitely don't want her to go out and, like, be shocked by any means necessary. I want her to be aware and cautious.
Want her to see the penis and vagina? Or what do you mean, like... What do you mean, like, be aware, be cautious?
I want to have conversation. Like, because of the center, she's been with me, you know, from 6 weeks old all the way till she started kindergarten this year. So she's seen and been through every classroom in PlaySmart. And she's seen boys go to the bathroom, and she's seen penises before. So I was very fortunate enough for her to be around it, and the environment called for it. So it wasn't like anything negative. And so now she knows what it looks like, and she knows that it's a different part of some of her. And now I just, like, let her be aware that, you know, she does have breasts, like, she has nipples and she has a vagina. We refer to it in our home with a nickname, but, like, you know, as far as layman terms of what she knows going to the doctor and going to class, she knows that her vagina is her vagina. So I just want her not to learn about sex in a as impacted as I was by pictures or just piecing together information or things that I've seen. And that's what we kind of put into our program here. So we make sure we teach about body parts, and we make sure we teach about who those, you know, the appropriate people are that can see it. And then we also make sure that as it escalates into, like, our school agers, because our school agers do believe that they have conversations about sex, and they're asking questions that they might necessarily feel comfortable asking their parent. And we talk about it very openly at our center. So it's private. We do it, and we make sure our parents are aware. But it's just being aware and being conscious, not putting, you know, humor with it. So that way, they, you know, like, that's, it doesn't have to be uncomfortable.
Right. All right. So we're going to take some time about that. And we're going to talk about being a sex positive parent next. So you are listening to the Sisters of Sexuality Five Shades of Play radio show.
Craving more from your sexy lifestyle? Search our businesses, services, blogs, articles, and videos. And keep in touch with us by subscribing to our newsletter, all on thesexylifestyle.com.
Do you find yourself lying in bed, dreaming about how to spice up your love life, and wondering how you are going to make it happen? It's time to have an intimate conversation about life, love, and lust on Pillow Talk with Cheryl. If you've been suppressing your emotions, wanting and waiting to talk about the way you really feel about romance, host Cheryl Besner is ready to help you challenge and change the way you approach your love life. Pillow Talk with Cheryl can be heard every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Sexy Lifestyle Network.
Are you ready for uncensored talk about sex, relationships, and more? Then listen for Tammy's Playhouse. Host Tammy and her occasional co-host Dan will break it down for you with some great advice, words to make you feel comfortable, and even some humor to hopefully make you laugh until you pee. Forget insecurities. We're all in the same boat here. Just enjoy the ride. Tammy's Playhouse is broadcast every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sexy Lifestyle Network.
Maximize your orgasms and just let go. The Throes of Passion Waterproof Pleasure Blanket guarantees to keep your sheets dry, no matter how wet it gets. From massage oils to lubes and beyond, we've got your bed covered. So just throw it down and get it on and get lost in your very own Throes of Passion. Then toss it aside and bask in the afterglow of great sex in warm, dry sheets. The all-new Naked Fleece provides a soft and sexy playscape, while the Stay Dry Barrier protects your bed, your couch, and even your carpet. It's machine washable, large enough to cover a king-size bed, and light enough to travel discreetly. To get your own Throes of Passion waterproof pleasure blanket, visit thesexylifestyle.com and order yours today. That's thesexylifestyle.com. Great sex starts now.
You are listening to Sisters of Sexuality. To check in with the show and ask your questions, send an email to sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. That's sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome to the Sisters of Sexuality, Five Shades of Play radio show on the Sexy Lifestyle Network, sponsored by LifestyleCruising.com. I'm Marla. I'm your host today with my guest, Jessica Nader of PlaySmart Learning Center. And we are talking about sex-positive parenting in queer families. So with this, we kind of talked about a little bit about like the PlaySmart Learning Center and, you know, sex ed in the family. I want to talk about what it takes to be a sex-positive parent. So Jessica, you know, you talked about your child and how you're still learning about how to navigate sex positive parenting. What are some tools do you think that are needed for people to do their best and be a sex positive parent?
A few takeaways that we promote at PlaySmart is having that parenting plan. You know, you plan for your pregnancy, you plan for your birth, and you plan for the first year that you're going to be a mom. But after that, I feel like we start to kind of take a more relaxed approach to it. Not all. I will just say that some families, I find that. So I always, I noticed that a part of our families, and we included having a parenting plan so that, you know, you sit down as a family, and you have a weekly, bi-monthly, however you want to do it in your frequency, where you sit down as a family and you talk about things and you're honest and it's a no-go zone. So everything is a safe place. You can tell on yourself at that point and you know, not reap the repercussions unless it's, you know, something really damaging. And then just really being able to then open up conversations about sex in that space. Because when you are talking about it as a group and as a family, hearing about it from your parents, I really think has the best impact on children, because our parents are our first teachers. So if our parents are telling us about sex and normalizing it and identifying certain things as certain age appropriate ways, then the child can have an opportunity to have conversations with their parents or even conversations with their friends, but hopefully be able to come back into that parenting plan or that family plan where you're talking about it with your parents or their siblings.
Do you think that like children would really, you know, because young people, I know they tend to be embarrassed, you know, about saying things. I know I was embarrassed when my mom was like trying to tell me all the things. Like, you know, what kind of like environment do you need to have in order to make that a possibility?
Well, the child has to feel safe. Like, safe and secure are the top two qualities a child needs to even feel enough to even express themselves. So, you know, at least giving notice and letting, you know, hey, we're going to have a meeting tonight, and this is where we get to sit down and talk to each other about what's going on in our lives, what's going on in our day. And we get to ask questions that are uncomfortable. We get to ask questions that might be a little silly that you might think, but this is the time to work on that tool. So that way, as you're doing it age appropriately and you're doing it frequently, you're maturing that child. You're teaching that child how to communicate. You're teaching that child to normalize a little bit more and not, I mean, it might be funny, but it is funny. It might be awkward because it is awkward, but we don't have to make it so awkward that we stop talking about it and we stop trying to come together with our children to piece that together. Because I think that is something, while we have a lot of children experimenting their bodies later on because they are misunderstanding what it is that they should be doing. You know, it's just giving them awareness and giving them time to talk, even if it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I think also, what about thinking about, particularly I'm thinking about like sexual assault, or like when somebody violates you in a way. Mm-hmm. I know as a child or as a young person, I had young little boy put a stick in between my legs, and it just shocked me. And of course, you know, I told the teacher, who then told the principal, and you know, we got suspended and all that stuff. But like, how do you teach our young boys to not do these kind of things?
It's having those conversations. I think when you teach a child about appropriate touches and what's inappropriate, talking about like, okay, if it's a doctor that's only allowed to see your private spots, but you also have to let your child know, like, okay, even though you're going over to Aunt Susie's house and Uncle Bruce is going to be there, you should know that no one should be touching your space because this is what this business is. Like, you're going to take a shower. You've already been given the tools of how to do that. If somebody comes in, you want to just make sure that those lines of communication are open. We do that for our girls, but we really don't do that for our boys. So I do think that we need to bring more consent conversations with our boys and making sure that we're pushing that. Did you ask? Did you ask permission for you to put that stick between, you know, Marla's legs? 9 out of 10, he's going to say no. And at least that's the first intro to consent, and then continuously drilling that portion into our boys will potentially and hopefully have an effect in the later portion of their lives where they don't feel that they can take that consent from a female who doesn't want to engage in any sexual activity with them. So I think it comes in from the beginning, and I think it's something that we have to put in parenting books as of now, you know, like we should be putting in there to tell boys, like, predatory, not to say you're going to be a predator when you grow up, but if, at any point that you want to do something, you need to ask. And the girl or boy needs to say yes. And if she says yes, then at least at best we're teaching consent. And then whatever happens in the effects, then that's what we're doing as parents and as providers, and having conversations and dialogue that's conscious and that's relative to that age.
Oh, that is absolutely beautiful. Because I feel like instead we punish instead of actually teaching them or having these teachable moments, especially with our young boys, you know, who grow up to be like men who are jerks, you know, just because they're like, oh yeah, I got punished, but they might get away with it one day. And, you know, people who get away with things, they tend to do them again and again and again. So... But I really like that, you know, putting it into a teachable moment. Are there any other tools you can think of that, as far as like, you know, that would, or what about you teaching your child? Like, how old is your child now?
She's 5.
She's 5. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what kinds of things have you taught her already?
She's aware about her body. She's aware of the yes and the no. She's aware of who can and who cannot. And it was my job and my husband's job as we were raising her to like be able to take care of herself too. So like when it comes to wiping herself and making sure when she takes a shower, teaching her how to bathe herself. So that way, when we put her in the position to sleep over someone's house, we can still hold her accountable to do her bath and let her know that no one needs to be in the bathroom with you because you have been taught how to take care of your body. And we make sure that the person who she's with is understanding that boundary too. Another thing is that we teach her to be like vocal. Nice. You can tell me anything. You know what? Always tell me the truth, even if that truth, you know, and sometimes we don't, you know, punish her if she tells us the truth, because the truth is the truth and we asked for it. And even though what she says is her truth might be something we're not ready to hear, I still can't come back at her in a negative way when she tells me the truth. So we're just teaching her communication and making sure that she has relationships with people that are, they're honest. And it's funny, like I say, she's five. Yeah, she's five. But I do think that we're raising a very mature five-year-old because it's under the PlaySmart, that brand, that partnership and everything that we were including in creating a whole child and a whole family experience. We were able to try it out in our own home with our own child. And we see the positive effects of it.
That's awesome. Do you also look to like, I don't know, like research, you know, being an academic and all, sometimes I think of these things. So do you like look at research articles or, you know, how do you get sort of the latest news on, you know, parenting techniques or sex education in learning centers?
Well, I do a lot of reading, and then I go on like week-long cruises with amazing people who offer some really great feedback. Then you go back and you learn more. So I do put myself in an arena to learn. So I like going to workshops. I like to travel and meet different people that are in the industry and that are dealing with children. I also like to network with other schools and other partnerships, so that way I'm learning as well. So I offer trainings in my center for not only my staff, but I also offer for providers in my industry too, so they can sign up for it. And I read. Like I said, I love to read. Conscious Parenting through Becky Bailey is another resource that I love because it puts me in a conscious standpoint of when I'm rearing my own and when I'm assisting other families to rear theirs. So I just pull from my resources. I make sure I'm around like-minded people that motivate me to want to know more about my craft.
Yes. Excellent. And you have plenty of around you, right? You have Jess Setting Jasmine, who's like, you guys are besties, right?
That is my homie. Yes. So you already know she is putting that information out there as well. So
yeah. I took a lovely sex positive parenting class with her and it was really great. Her and King did a really amazing job. But in this next, so I want to kind of transition to, you know, queer parents versus straight parents. And I'm wondering if you see any nuances just with the way you were, you know, how you were raised by two women and, you know, the differences between sort of queer parenting versus non-queer parenting. So if y'all been listening, thank you for listening. We are going to move into a break, but you are listening to the Sisters of Sexuality, Five Shades of Play radio show on the Sexy Lifestyle Network. And we'll be back shortly.
Organic Lovin', for the bodies you love to love. How do people describe you? Are you curious? Playful? Maybe sensual? Adventurous? How about open-minded? The truth is, no matter who you are, Organic Lovin' has something to indulge your fantasies. We offer only organic, natural, and eco-friendly intimate body products, including vegan condoms, organic lubricants, body-safe sex toy materials, and sex-positive books. You won't find anything harmful in our products or toys. We also have a full range of other experiences, including erotic seminars and exotic adults-only vacations. Receive our adult subscription box for a monthly sexual delight. Be educated, entertained, and informed. Organic Lovin'. For her, for him, for you. For the bodies you love to love, visit organiclovin.com. We offer shipping worldwide, so stop by the site anytime. Organic Lovin'. That's LOVEN.com.
Sexy is back, and we've got it going on all the time here on the Sexy Lifestyle Network.
Are you ready for clit whispering healthy talk? Tune in to the Get Mine Healthy Pleasure Radio Show, founded and hosted by Dr. Mafei Peraza Godoy and Dominique Caretsis. This program will answer all of your burning questions in a frank, casual, and uncensored manner. We'll tell you what we know and improve what you know. Turn the lights down, grab a hot cup of whatever, and join us every Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time and 6 a.m. Pacific Time for the Get Mine Healthy Pleasure Radio Show on the Sexy Lifestyle Network.
You are listening to Sisters of Sexuality. To check in with the show and ask your questions, send an email to sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. That's sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome to the Sisters of Sexuality, Five Shades of Play radio show on the Sexy Lifestyle Network, sponsored by LifestyleCruising.com. I am your host, Marla, today with our guest, Jessica, and we are talking about sex-positive parenting in queer families. So if you've missed the previous segments, no worries. You can always go back and find this on demand after we're through. But for the first segment, we talked about sort of how we met on the cruise ship. We were talking about Jessica's learning center. We talked about sex education in the family and our experiences around sex education, as well as sex education in our family. And then we also talked about some tools to being a sex positive parent, what things that you can do as far as how to be a sex positive parent, age appropriate language, you know, things that should be really be helpful for you and your child as they're, you know, growing up. And this segment, I really wanted to talk to you, Jessica, about like the differences between like queer and non-queer parenting. Just because like in a lot of, you know, LGBTQ, you know, households, you know, there is, you know, there are different there's a different kind of learning happening, right? That probably doesn't get had in non-queer families. And, you know, I'm wondering, do you, well, I know you kind of shared a story. Would you like to share that story? Are you open to sharing that story about you and your family and sort of that experience that you had around like differences between queer and non-queer parents?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I remember like as a child, my very first best friend going over to her house, and we'll call her LD. And I remember hanging out at her house. Her house is so dope. Her parents were always so welcoming. And I just always had a great time there. And her parents were just so nice to my parents. And I remember inviting her over, like, hey, why don't you come over to my house? I'm always coming over here. And she was like, yeah, sure. So she asked her parents, and she lets me know like a couple days later that she couldn't and that I was always welcome to come over to her house. And I was like, oh, okay, all right. So I guess I'll come over to your house this weekend. So when I was asking my mom about it, I was like, Mom, you know, like I asked her to come over and she told me that she couldn't. I don't understand why. And she was just like, well, you know, honey, it's because of our relationship. Like, it's because Linda and my relationship that her parents weren't comfortable with their daughter coming over to my house because I had lesbian parents. So I was like, what? I was like shunned, because I'm like, I love them. How come no one else loves them? So I was a little taken back, but my mom was very loving about it. She was very kind about it. And she didn't make me feel bad about her love or where her heart was at and how it affected me. And then she still drove me over to her house and she still let me hang out. And I still talk to her till this day. But that was my experience, you know, as far as losing friends because of it. And I do know that I take that into the way I am now in my center, where, you know, like when I have families that come in and they're like, oh, my partner or my significant other. And I just like, I kind of wonder, I'm like, oh, they just can't tell me that they're gay, you know, or, mm-hmm. you know, same sex marriage or whatever. And once I kind of throw in there, like I was raised by two parents, two women, they're like, oh, like there's relief. Mm. You get it. And I say the same thing in employees. Like I have, you know, hired, you know, two women who they weren't together, but they're lesbians, and like they're awesome people, you know, like they're not like that doesn't keep them from being so amazing to children in my environment. So it's like we get to change a little bit of our parents who might be a little uptight, that might not be comfortable putting themselves out there on their own, but trust our environment. And I can see us changing some mindsets a little bit in just being able to be, you know, communicative with them and awesome and open to their, you know, okay, you have two moms. So on Father's Day, no, we're not doing a Father's Day card. So we're doing two Mother's Day cards on Mother's Day. And if they have a pre-date that they predetermined that's going to be, you know, a Linda Day, then that's what it's going to be. So just being sensitive to, you know, to families as well, because it really doesn't matter if you are, in my opinion, it doesn't matter if you're raised in a homosexual relationship or a heterosexual relationship. What really needs to be happening in the environment is love, you know, and acceptance and giving children great models of positive relationships within that scale and scope. So that way they can take on their positive attributes and continue to do that in their relationships as they grow up.
Yeah, so, I think that's a great point. And like, you know, there's a lot of the stigma around like, oh, if you are if you grow up in a, you know, queer household or a lesbian or gay household, then you might become gay or lesbian. There's just like that stigma, which we know clearly that does not happen. But, you know, people have those, you know, those they're scared, right? And being in the South, we have all the religious, you know, the religious trauma or, you know, the stigma around religion. And so I can understand why some parents would fear a little bit because, you know, they don't want their kids to be discriminated against. You know, they want to make sure that they are growing up in a loving, healthy environment, like you said. So I think that's really, really interesting. So do you feel like you see a difference between maybe the, you know, the between like queer parents and non-queer parents? Like what has been your experience around sort of the sex education with queer parents versus non-queer parents?
I find, in my opinion, is that in queer families, there's a little bit more openness, a little bit more freedom and acceptance. You know, if a boy wants to be dressed in the home living area and put on, you know, the dress, the shoes, the hat, and pretend to be Betty, there's an acceptance in that field. But then I can see the contrast in a heterosexual family where there would be a negative connotation of that boy putting on that dress. And we have to shape that parent to understand that what they're doing is completely normal and they are exploring both sides of sexuality and not necessarily saying and picking a lane, but they are, you know, trying to pretend to be the mom that they are being raised with or the aunt or someone that they see. So I do see a little bit more of a freedom and an openness when I partner with homosexual families that are raising children, because I feel like they are like, I just feel like we get it. Like, I get it. Like, you just want your child to be loved. You want your child to be accepted. You don't want your child to be belittled. Now, the same thing happens in a heterosexual family, but there's more stigmatisms that I find you know, a mom and a dad are going to maybe argue about or have some conflict about than two males or two females would. And I just try to meet it with where the child is at. If it's not a negative impact, let the child explore and express themselves. And then we can guide them in that space of, okay, you know, now we're getting ready to get back into our clothes and you are back to being Johnny. And let's go on a roll with the day. But Betty was a cool character and can't wait to see her maybe tomorrow when you come and play. It's so much importance, Marla, about that communication and really not having a deer in headlights when you're working with children and getting frustrated or having our own insecurities or what we don't want them to do, making sure that we're not impacting them. So as long as we positively kind of go into it, I try not to like rock the boat when it comes to like if your parent is better than this parent and if this parent understands more than the other. I just want them to understand what their child is doing and love them in that space.
Yeah. I agree. Andy, what do you think? Because sometimes I feel like even in queer parenting, like there are times where I'm thinking about like how, you know, even as queer parents, they are going into, they're raising their children, but they, you know, make the assumptions around their children being straight, you know, and putting that pressure on their children to be a certain way. You know what I'm saying? Like, have you ever found that to be the case as well? Because I feel like sometimes I've experienced that in the South, like them, even though they are queer themselves or gay or lesbian or whatever, part of the LGBTQ community, that they don't want their child to be because they feel like it's maybe so much harder.
So. Yeah, I've had that experience. And I mean, even me growing up, like I remember thinking, well, if my mom and Linda love each other, maybe I'm supposed to, you know, be in a relationship with a woman. But then when I figured out that I wasn't into women, you know, based on my own self-exploration, you know, I was able to, you know, be involved in healthy relationships. But I do see some of my parents wanting to dictate moods. And I think that's where the relationship suffers from parent to child, where we start speaking for the child and we start, you know, creating these preset thoughts. Oh, we want them to be a lawyer or he's going to be a this or, you know, I find parents, I'm like, hey, Johnny, how you doing? And the parents like, oh, he's good. I'm like, but I was asking Johnny. Like,
I know. Oh, well, Jessica, it has been a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm sorry we have to like wrap this up, but where can we find, let us know where we can find you next. How can we get in touch with you?
You can follow us on Instagram under PlaySmart Learning Center. You can also follow me on Jessica Nader B Instagram. And the next time is hopefully on another cruise in April to present the Sex Positive Parenting Workshop again with Bliss, with Jasmine and King Noir. That is the next in April.
Awesome. And you, as always, you can catch me, Velvet Lips Sex Ed, on all the social media. And again, we are the Sisters of Sexuality radio show on the Sexy Lifestyle Network, sponsored by LifestyleCruising.com. And this week, we have a wonderful new thing. We have Experience Warm is offering a great deal this week. If you buy Touch, get Warm 50% off. Bring the heat into your bedroom with two different warm products and save. So when you buy Touch, the bedroom accessory that it dispenses warm lubricants and oils of the wave of your hand, you can save 50% off Warm, the electric clutch that safely and effectively heats up your intimacy products to ignite your sensual experience. So for more information about Touch and Warm, go to thesexylifestyle.com/business-pages. So thank you, Jessica, and everybody, you, have a happy new year from the
Happy New Year
Sexuality Radio Show.
Hey, sexy people. If you're ready to start your sexual evolution, we've got some amazing prizes to give away. Some of the great prizes include Womanizer, the most advanced pleasure product for stronger, longer, and more intense orgasms. SDC.com is giving away a lifetime membership to the sexiest online community of open-minded people. Touch from experience, Warm. It warms your personal lube, then automatically dispenses it with a wave of your hand. And we can't forget Throes of Passion Waterproof Pleasure Blanket. Keep your bed dry no matter how wet it gets. For your chance to win one of these amazing prizes, simply send us an email at info@thesexylifestyle.com with the word contest in the subject line. Your name will be entered into the weekly drawing, and remember to visit our website regularly for a list of the winners and more information about all the amazing prizes and sponsors. Go to thesexylifestyle.com contest page and enter as often as you like.
Thank you for tuning in to Sisters of Sexuality. Please join Taylor Sparks, Jet Setting Jasmine, Parrish, Michelle Blair, Marla Renee Stewart, and Tiffany Janae. Again next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sexy Lifestyle Network. Same time, same place next week.